Can we lift up his name just a little bit more? Can we worship him? He's the reason that we're here tonight. He's the reason we're in this place. We glorify you, Jesus. We lift up your name. You are the Most High God. There is none like you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Glory to your name. Glory to the name of the Lord. Amen. Man, it feels cool in the house tonight. I want to thank your pastor and Sister Cox, for having us, for extending the invitation to me and my family to be with you all tonight at the Pentecostal Church of Harvey. Amen. I got my official hanky, and I'm ready to use it tonight. Amen. Thank you all for having us, Pastor. Thank you for your hospitality, your spirit of excellence that we felt from the first call and email. I appreciate it so much. And it took about 5 minutes of the prayer to realize that we are tonight, me and my family, we are in a revival church. Amen. I believe that the Spirit of the Lord is bringing revival in this church. I can feel it. And I can see it too. You're a beautiful church. And I'm not talking about the walls as beautiful they are and the sanctuary as beautiful as it is. But as I look out and see all the faces, different colors, different places, you are a beautiful church. It reminds me of my home church in Washington, D.C., with people of every race, every color, every tongue, all worshiping the same God, worshiping the same Jesus. Praise the Lord. How wonderful. How wonderful to be here tonight. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Just so honored to be here. Back in Chicago, or the greater Chicago area, I should say, with my family, my wife, Kristen. You're going to meet here her in just a minute. And my two boys, Xander and Benaiah, who at the first mention of dismissal ran as fast as they could towards Children's Church. Amen. They said, we've heard Dad preach before. Amen. So we're so thankful to be here. As Pastor mentioned, we are missionaries to Spain, and we are currently on deputation, meaning that we are traveling around the country. I can sing that song, I've Been Everywhere, Man, and really, I'm telling the truth. Praise the Lord. And we've only been doing it for about 4 months, but we feel like we've seen so much of the country, so much of this great fellowship. And it's been an honor to be in so many churches and places. Amen. And we are doing that until we raise our budget to head back to the nation of Spain, which is our calling, our burden, our destiny, as the brother was talking about in the Truth 180 just a few minutes ago. That is the destiny that the Lord has called us to. And so what I thought I would do tonight, just so you can get a little better acquainted with me and my family, is we have a short promotional video. And what this does, it kind of tells you how we got from where we were to where we are. We ain't always been missionaries. And it's been a long walk. Everybody could maybe testify in here that the walk with Jesus, it takes a little time. Amen. Good things take time. And so instead of me taking an hour and starting in 1982, I'm just going to let you watch the video. Then you'll know us a little better. And then my wife is going to come up. She's going to testify and share some things with you. And then I'm just going to preach for a little bit on a message that I hope will build your faith. Amen. And then I believe the Lord Jesus is going to do miracles in this place. I believe the Lord Jesus is going to heal in this place. He's going to deliver in this place. And I believe if you need the Holy Spirit tonight, you can receive it tonight. If you've never received the Holy Spirit, speaking in other tongues, but you want it, I got news for you. Tonight's your night. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so if that sounds good to you all, we'll get right into that video if they have that prepared. Amen.
Hi, I'm Sam, and this is my wife, Kristen. and this is our story. 13 years ago, we moved to Washington, D.C. independently to pursue our careers. But along the way, we met, married, and built a family. Our two boys, Benaiah and Xander, provide an endless supply of joy and excitement to our lives. After completing my PhD in nuclear engineering, I moved to the nation's capital because I wanted to change the world. My dream job with the U.S. Navy took me to multiple continents and multiple countries. I even spent time at sea, flying on and off aircraft carriers, before my company handpicked me to direct two new research programs in a team of fellow scientists.
I fell in love with Spain and its people over 20 years ago while studying Spanish in Barcelona. I didn't even realize it then that I was lost without Jesus. But little did I know, God was working his purpose in me even way back then. I went on to complete my master's degree in school counseling, and I took jobs at schools on the Texas-Mexico border in Dominican Republic, and then back in Washington, D.C. at a charter school as a bilingual counselor. And I was being prepared to become a school principal before my family and my ministry called. I found much more than a career in Washington, D.C. I found the truth. Shortly after I was baptized in Jesus' name, the Holy Spirit fell upon me during a mission service while the preacher yet preached the word, just like in Acts 10. After that, I found myself weeping during services while missionaries would come and share their burden for the lost souls around the world.
Our pastor, Jerry Staton, possesses a contagious evangelistic spirit, which awakened in us a burden for souls. Then in 2017, the Lord called me to lay down my secular career for ministry. It was the singular most gut-wrenching prayer I had ever prayed. But when the Master calls, we must follow. Not knowing how, not knowing when, we began to prepare ourselves for God's call on our lives.
It's not your calling, it's His calling. Be pliable in His hands. This was prayed over us at the Global Mission Service in 2018 General Conference. That was where God placed the mission and the burden for global missions upon our hearts. Following that service, that spring, we took a trip to Spain as a family where God confirmed He was calling us to Spain. For 3 years, we've served as short-term missionaries under the leadership of Nathan and Tanya Herod. During this time, we've witnessed hundreds of people in Spain receive miracles, be baptized in Jesus' name, and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And as administrators of the Barcelona-based Bible school, we've seen a resurgence in student attendance. We've experienced the blessings and provisions of God for every need. To God be all the glory.
Now as fully appointed missionaries, God has called us to the southernmost and most under-evangelized province of Spain, Andalusia. Our calling is to proclaim the full gospel to the over 8 million souls that live there. In this predominantly Catholic nation, our mission is to plant apostolic churches throughout the region through the preaching of sound doctrine and a demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost and God's grace. We will see it done. God's call to Spain marks the most beautiful and greatest plot twist of our lives, but we can't enter this next chapter of the story without your help. Partner with us as we take this next step of faith.
God is so awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for what He's doing in Harvey, Illinois, and thank you, Jesus, for what He's doing across the nation of Spain, across the United States, and across the globe. We are a global church. I'm so thankful to be with you all tonight. I'm so thankful and honored to be at your church. I give the highest honor to Pastor and Sister Cox. I do not take it for granted to be able to stand before you all this evening. I was not raised in truth. I was not raised in an apostolic church. I was actually raised Catholic, and I really had no relationship with God. I rarely, if ever, opened the Bible to really read what the Word of God had to say. And I'm so thankful to be in a church that knows how to pray. This is a praying church. This is a worshiping church. That same presence that is here right now is the presence that delivered me. Because you could see in that video, while it may sound like I had it all together, I had my master's degree and I had the career of my dreams. But inside, before Jesus, I was empty. Inside, before Jesus, I was in bondage to alcohol. And I was trying to fill it with relationships. I was trying to fill that emptiness with alcohol and the things of the world and my job and my career. But at the end of the day, I was just empty and lost. And I'm so thankful that one day God led me into an apostolic church just like this one, where I was able to enter into the presence of the Lord. And I had tried for years to stop drinking alcohol on my own power, but I can do nothing without Jesus. But I know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the day that I was filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost during that mission service, I was instantly delivered from the bondage of alcohol in my life. I'm so thankful that nothing in this world compares. Nothing in this world can fill my soul. And I could look back and I could say, man, I wish I wasn't raised in a Catholic church. I could look back and say, man, I wish I hadn't lived 30 years of my life in sin. But it is all of those things. Like, Brother Caleb, you really blessed me with what you shared this evening. I don't know if you're still in here. But his testimony really blessed me, because I can look back and look at how all of that time in sin, 30 years of sin, has prepared me to connect, to go and reach disciples and make disciples around the nation, just like Matthew 28 tells us to go and make disciples of all nations. It is that past that helped me to connect with Liliana, who I met in the Dominican Republic before I was living for Jesus. She was not living for Jesus. My family and I moved to Spain. And I get a Facebook message from Liliana saying, hey, Kristen, I see you moved to Spain. I've been living here for the past 4 years. Let's get coffee. So Liliana shares with me. We get together after it's been like 10 years since I met her before I knew Jesus. And she shared with me how during the lockdown, how the Lord had been moving in her mind and in her heart and in her life, and how she was so hungry for the things of God. God opened the door for me to do a Bible study. And there's nothing greater than just making disciples, sitting down at a kitchen table and doing a one-on-one Bible study and watching God move and transform a person's life. There is no greater honor or privilege than being entrusted to teach the word of God to a soul, to a lost and hungry soul. And I'm so thankful to tell you today that Liliana was baptized in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. She is faithful, and she is now a witness to her family and friends. Her brother, a few weeks ago, was baptized in Jesus' name at the church in Spain, who is a doctor there living in Spain. And so God is reaching. He is reaching and seeking the lost. And I was with Liliana one night at her home just fellowshipping, and she said, we need to pray for Cindy, because while Liliana and I would do Bible studies, she, like I said, she's a witness to her friends and family. And so her friend Cindy would join our Bible studies through video call. Now, Cindy would join us through video call because she was living in France. And so Liliana told me, pray for Cindy. She is sick. Something's going on. She is swollen. Her eye is swollen. I think you have a photo of Cindy. Her eye was swollen, and she was living in France, so she at the time, for various reasons, she didn't have access to health care. And so that swelling was going down to her throat, and it was affecting her voice and ability to speak. And so Liliana said, we need to pray for Cindy. So I sat down with Liliana at the kitchen table. We said a prayer, but we called out and declared that by his stripes, Cindy was healed. How many know that God's ways are higher than our ways? His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, as the heavens are higher than the earth. I found out at that time, while Liliana and I were praying in Spain in the kitchen table, that Cindy was standing at the sink in France washing dishes. While she was washing dishes, she felt a hand touch her forehead. And she was startled at first with a fear. She didn't know what was going on. But then all of a sudden, the peace of God washed over her. The swelling went down. And by his stripes, Cindy was healed. I believe an angel was sent, because God hears the prayers of his people. God hears the fervent prayers of his church. And like I said, it's not going to always happen the way we expect it to, or how and when we expect it to, but he hears our prayers. He answers our prayers. And I'm so thankful that he's also entrusted us with two precious souls, a 9-year-old little boy named Benaiah and a 6-year-old boy named Xander. He has entrusted us with their precious souls. And I am so thankful for God told us that when we went to Spain, we had so many concerns about bringing those boys at 3 and 5 years old to another country away from family, but God told us this is what's best for their souls. And he's been so faithful, because I can tell you today that while we were in Barcelona, the boys' initiative, Benaiah has been baptized in Jesus' name. Both Xander and Benaiah have been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And just today, while we were at the playground, those boys loved to talk to people about Jesus. Little Xander was playing in the sand at a playground today, and he said, "Mommy, we're talking about Jesus." Those boys are soul winners already at the ages of 6 and 9. They have been reaching for people in their school. They went to school and learned the language and connected with precious children and families there in Spain. And they're already winning souls. And God moved mountains to get them into a Christian school there in Barcelona. And he's going to move mountains to get them into the right school when we move to the south in Sevilla. And he's using you. He's using his church to move those mountains for us. And we have an education project. If God moves in your heart, if God moves in your heart and you feel to sow into the lives of Benaiah and Xander and their education project, I would like to give you the opportunity. And we have our QR code. The project would be to, if you do feel to sow into Benaiah and Xander's education, you can text Zenobia to 71777. You can go to that QR code, or you can go to that QR code and make a donation there. $100 pays for 2 days of their school, $250 pays for a week of school, and $1,000 would pay for a whole month of school for our boys. If the QR code or a phone text does not work for you, we will be at the table after service. We would love to meet. I've met many of you already. God bless you, Sister Vivian. Thank you so much for welcoming us when we got here, and I pray that we get to meet all of you afterwards at the table back there. We also take card and check and cash as well. So I thank you in advance for all you do for Global Missions, and I thank Jesus for what he's going to do tonight in this service. Amen.
Amen. Can we just one more time give the Lord a hand clap for what he's doing in Spain? Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Would you all stand with me for the reading of the word? We're going to go right into the scripture. I'd also like to thank Brother and Sister Barry. Amen. For their help. I see him. There he is. Amen. Thank you for everything, making us comfortable when we arrived and before we arrived, and helping us with the media. Thank you very much. Again, an honor to be here. Acts chapter 26 and verse 8. Acts chapter 26 and verse 8. I'm going to throw a curveball and preach from Acts. I know you guys maybe aren't accustomed to that. Praise the Lord. Hey, it's still good. Praise God. It's still good. Amen. Are you ready for the Lord to do something wonderful tonight? Don't you love the Lord Jesus? Amen. Are we all there? Amen. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul, speaking to King Agrippa, and he is sharing his testimony of conversion, and if you know the context, of course, he was being called into question for his belief in the resurrection by those who did not believe in it, the Sadducees. And so he's testifying to Agrippa, and he asks him a question. He says, "Why should it be thought a thing incredible with you that God should raise the dead?" Incredible means unbelievable. And so he's asking King Agrippa, he's saying, "What's so hard to believe that God could raise himself from the dead? What's so hard to believe that God could do a miracle? Why is it so hard to believe that God can heal our body? Or that God can deliver our minds? Or that God can restore our marriage? Or that God can save our family and our loved one? What is so hard to believe about a God that does miracles? Why is that so tough to believe, King Agrippa?" And so I'd like to talk for just a little bit tonight on this subject, in the midst of miracles. in the midst of miracles. Would you put your Bible down, close your eyes, and lift your hands, however you want to connect with the Lord right now. We're going to pray one more time. Lord Jesus, I love you, Lord, and I ask you to help me and to use me tonight before your great people to minister unto them the word of truth. Lord, right now, I bless everybody under the sound of my voice in the name of Jesus. Those that are present and those that may be online, I bless them in the name of the Lord. And right now, in Jesus' name, we take authority and dominion over every fear, over every anxiety, over every sickness in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus right now, we bind them in Jesus' name. We lose right now faith. We lose healing. We lose signs and wonders. And the Spirit of the Lord, in the name of Jesus, would you right now lift your voice unto the Lord and shout with the voice of triumph to Him? Hallelujah! Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be, I count at least 109 notable miracles in Scripture. You see, miracles are a key part of human history with God. Miracles are events that involve an immediate and powerful action of God. They are designed to reveal His character or His purposes. You see, miracles testify to a power that only God possesses. Just consider a short list of miracles, if you would. The division of the Red Sea and the drowning of Pharaoh's chariots to liberate the Israelites. The stopping of the sun so that Joshua could defeat the Amorites. Jesus feeding 5,000 men with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Jesus walking on water in the middle of a storm. Jesus crucified, buried, but resurrected from the dead, securing our victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. You see, we serve a God that does impossible miracles. There is nothing that our God cannot do. There's nothing my Jesus cannot do. Hallelujah. I bet we could go around from row to row and you would tell me a miracle in your life that only God could do. That somehow happened and no one could explain quite how. You see, the Bible uses different words to describe miracles, such as signs, wonders, or powerful works, and God's purpose in performing them can vary, but I want to draw our attention tonight to just one reason that I think is so important, and that is authentication. You see, authentication is the process of confirming the identity of an object or person. If I were to pull out my driver's license from the state of Wisconsin, go Packers. Amen. I thought that would be the response. I'm in dangerous territory right now. Get back to the Word of God. If I were to pull out my driver's license would authenticate me as me because it shares all of my characteristics. If you were to look at it, you would see my picture on there. You would see my date of birth, which is much earlier than I would like it to be. And you would see my weight, which is much higher than I would like it to be. And you'd see my eye color and my hair color, and it would have my signature. You see, my driver's license authenticates who I am. And as Oneness Apostolics, we know that Jesus Christ is God because He possesses all of the characteristics of God, including the miraculous works of God. Amen. Did you know that Jesus said in John 10:37, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. This is a man whose destiny, whose mission depended on the belief of people in who he was. But he was willing to say, if I don't do the miraculous, if I'm not showing forth the works of my Father, don't believe me. Don't believe me. I believe Jesus' miracles proved he was God. And my brothers and sisters, or brethren and sistren, amen? I believe that if someone reads the Bible and they read about the miracles of Jesus, they read about the impossible things that he did, healing the sick, casting out demons, feeding the hungry, all these things that he did, and then they come to our church and they're in one of our services, I believe they should see Jesus in us. I believe his church should share his characteristics. I think we should love like him. I think we should seek the lost like him. I think we should do miracles like Jesus did miracles. And I think we should forgive like Jesus forgave. Can I just sit here for a minute on this forgiveness piece? Because it's making people sick all across our movement. It's making people sick all across the world. Unforgiveness is one of the leading causes of sickness in people's lives, both physical and mental. We need to forgive like Jesus forgave. That includes those who lied on us, who hurt us, who gossip behind our back. Bible says if we do not forgive those who trespassed against us, our Father in heaven will not forgive us our trespasses. That seems like a pretty serious deal to me. And I'm not saying that people haven't wronged us. I think we've all experienced betrayal. That's part of the human plight. We experience, everybody's got a Judas in their life. But as far as I know, everybody sitting here tonight, we haven't been beaten. We haven't had our beards plucked and a crown of thorns put on our head. We haven't been hung naked in front of our family. We haven't been had nails driven through our hands and our feet. We haven't had a spear thrust through our side. As far as I'm aware, we all can forgive if Jesus forgave. I want to be like Jesus in every way. And I know I'm dwelling on this a little bit, and it's really not the main point of my message tonight, but I feel that there is a need tonight for emotional healing in this place. And if we truly want to be whole emotionally, spiritually, and physically, we've got to get this unforgiveness thing or the forgiveness thing right in our hearts. And we got to stop carrying hurts and offenses and wrongs and abuses and things that were done for us. And we've got to open our heart and say, I forgive him, Jesus. And would you heal me? Would you take that out of my heart? Would you take it out of my life? And would you let your glorious love heal me from the inside out? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, for Jesus, it was normal to operate in the supernatural. Wherever he went, miracles followed him. So therefore, I think it should be normal for the church to operate in the supernatural. And I'm not talking about the four walls. You can't move this building. I'm talking about the people of God. I'm not talking about Pastor and Sister Cox. I know that they walk in authority. I know they walk in the Holy Ghost. But I'm talking about every single believer that makes up the body of Christ. My Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Do we've got any believers in the house tonight? We got anybody that believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? That he died for us and rose on the third day. We've been baptized in his name. We've been given the Holy Ghost. I think it's time we started operating in miracles. Not only in this place, but outside these four walls. When we go to the supermarket, it says the sign, you can be seated. Amen. I know I'm excitable. That's why I preach short, because I'm too excitable. Amen. I wouldn't make it an hour. It says these signs shall follow them that believe. So wherever we go, the signs follow us. When we preach the word of God, really what I'm counting on is Jesus tonight, that he's just going to confirm his word. All I'm doing is preaching his word in faith, and he's going to just confirm it because he wants to authenticate that his word is true to us tonight. And so wherever we go, whether it's the grocery store or to get gas or wherever it may be, the post office, if we're in that place and we've been filled with the Holy Ghost and buried in his name, we got Jesus with us. And so wherever we go, signs, wonders, and miracles should follow us because Jesus is with us. I wish I could communicate it better. Jesus, the living God, the God of the Old Testament, the one who parted the Red Sea, he lives inside of us. So wherever we go, we've got the God of all creation with us. Bible says, in my name they'll cast out devils. They'll speak in with new tongues. If you've never spoken in tongues, you can receive the Holy Ghost and speak in new tongues tonight. It says they'll take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. We have the right of divine protection in our life. It says they will lay hands on the sick, and they'll just stay the same. I think it says they shall recover. They're going to get better. Sadly, many who confess the Christian faith have abandoned miracles. And as a result, Christianity has lost a vital proof of its authenticity. And so now the door is open to counterfeits, false religion, false Christ, witchcraft, things that deceive people who are searching and looking for something real in this world. And I'd like to tell you, a counterfeit is never as good as the original product. I'd like to ask which one of you goes to an outlet mall and you're seeking the imitation brand sneakers? Or are you looking for the Nikes? Are you looking for the Jordans? That's what I'm looking for. I don't want the imitation stuff. I want the stuff that ain't gonna fly off my feet when I do a lap around the church, amen, on a Thursday night. I don't want the counterfeit. I want the original thing. And so the devil is offering the world a cheap imitation. They get a feeling of spiritual power. They get a quick rush of pleasure. And his goal is to trap them in addiction and in darkness. Listen, I know what I'm talking about. I may look nice tonight, but I was a drunk. I backslid for 5 years and built a prison around my life. And it was the grace of God that delivered me and saved me out of that pit and put me on a solid rock. You see, the devil knows if somebody gets a taste of the real thing, they will abandon their sinful ways and they will turn to God and they will walk towards him in repentance and they will live in holiness. The devil knows we got the real thing. But do we know we got the real thing? Are we convinced that we have the Holy Ghost in power? Are we convinced that we are the one true church of the living God? I believe we've got to believe it, we've got to know it, and we've got to practice it. And I thank God that I'm in a church that believes it. I can tell y'all are with me. I can tell y'all believe it. Praise God. Paul's asking King Agrippa, is it really that hard to believe that God can raise the dead, that God does the supernatural? I think we should expect the supernatural as the church. And I'll tell you, I think the healing of blind eyes is supernatural. We've had the pleasure of seeing God open blind eyes. We've seen God open deaf ears. We've seen people that were mute and couldn't speak before. We've seen arthritis and all sorts of diabetes healed and back issues and head issues and all these issues. We've seen God do a workover from top to bottom. And that's miraculous when that happens. But I'll also tell you, when someone makes up their mind that they're sick of their own sinful life and bows their head and said, Jesus, I'm sorry. I'd like to live for you now. Forgive me and cleanse me. That's a miracle. When a sinner repents, when they say, I'm ready to get in the water and have my sins washed away and put my past beside me, that's a miracle. When they lift their hands and the Holy Ghost falls upon them and they begin to speak in new tongues, that's a miracle. When God saves your marriage, when God saves your family member, it's a miracle. Everything he does is miraculous. He is a supernatural God. And he can do it all tonight. I'm almost done. Praise the Lord. I want to share a couple testimonies. Is that all right? Amen. And I could share testimonies about Spain. My wife shared a testimony about Spain. Great testimony. Isn't that cool? What God did? Super cool. And we could share testimonies about Spain, but sometimes I think the problem with that is missionaries come, and I'm not criticizing anybody, but we come and we tell these awesome testimonies about stuff that happened 5,000 miles away, 10,000 miles away, but everybody's sitting in Harvey, Illinois and being like, yeah, but what about Harvey, Illinois? We need to know that it happens here on good old U.S. soil. Amen. We've got to be convinced that the God in Spain is the God in Harvey, that the God in Bangladesh is the same God in Harvey, and his arm's not short, and his promises aren't slack, and if he can do it over there, he can do it here. We were in, I feel to share this one in Oregon. We were in Oregon not too long ago. I can't even remember when, but it was like a month or something. And there was a man who came to the altar, and God was moving, and there was a word given about arthritis, and so he came, he had arthritis, his body was evidently riddled with arthritis, he had it everywhere, but especially in his legs, and he told me, as we began to pray, he said, I have something on my side, and I don't remember which side it was, he said, there's something there, and the doctors don't know what it is that's there. But there's something, it's causing pain, and there it is. And so I said, well, listen, we're going to pray in the name of Jesus because there's power in the name of Jesus. And I gave him some very simple instructions. I said, listen, we're not going to beg God for our healing. And we're not going to do that tonight. Amen. We're not going to say, oh, please, Lord, heal me. Oh, please, deliver me. We're going to say, thank you, Jesus, for healing my body. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering my mind. Thank you, Jesus, for saving so-and-so and restoring my marriage, whatever it might be that's happened in your life. And so I said, just begin to raise your hands and thank him and praise him for the healing that you need. I said, call it out. Name it. Don't let it lay there in the dark, unnamed in fear. We let stuff swim in fear in the dark, and we don't want to name it because we're afraid it may be too big for God. But I've got to tell you, there's nothing too big for God. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. There's nothing he cannot do. And so, just laid her hand on her head, said, in the name of Jesus, we declare wholeness. We command this thing to go. We command the arthritis to go. And he starts shaking, and he's shaking and praising God. And I said, how do you feel, brother? He said, I've got no pain in my body whatsoever. He's like, but I can feel the blood is pumping through my legs. It's so weird. I just feel blood pumping through my body, and the pain's gone. And I said, where's that thing in your side? And he's going, I can't feel it. I can't find it. It's not there anymore, because our God is able to do anything if we can grab on in faith and believe in his promises. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Would you just worship him right now? Would you just lift your hands across this place? Oh, Jesus, Jesus, we need you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I felt before in prayer that, and you can stay stand, you can just be seated for a minute. That's all right. You can go ahead and be seated. I felt before in prayer that there's some people that are struggling in their minds. And, you know, I don't know how to say it. The only way it came to me is like there's just, you're hearing lots of stuff in your mind. Hearing all sorts of voices in your mind. And I'm not saying they're good voices. And it's confusion and it's darkness and it's rough. And you're like, am I normal? And I don't know who that is right now. And I don't want to call you out. But if everybody could just lift their hands right now. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. But I do feel that need is here. I want you to lift your hands right now. And I want you to just give right now. I want you to open your, if that's not you, I want you to just begin interceding for these people that are in this room right now that need this deliverance from the voices. They're questioning whether they're okay. And tonight the Lord is going to deliver you. I want you right now just begin to worship God. If that's you, I want you to begin to worship God and just tell him, thank you for delivering me. Thank you for delivering me. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Just pray right now, church. Just pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over every lying voice of the enemy. I bind every spirit of confusion. I bind every spirit of fear. I bind every lying spirit that is driving God's people mad. And I command you, in the name of Jesus, to leave. I speak life and wholeness in a sound mind. Let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, fill this congregation right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I want us all to do something together. Now, I know there's specific ones, but we're all going to do it together. We're going to take authority over what's happening in our minds. If you would with me, if you'd be so, am I okay, Pastor? Amen. If you'd be so good as just put your hand on your own head. We're going to just take authority over our own mind right now. And you can repeat after me, or you can pray your own prayer, whatever you'd like to do. In the name of Jesus, I take authority over my mind. I command every thought, every voice, every lie to become captive in obedience to Christ. I speak peace over my mind. I plead the blood of Jesus over my mind. I speak the peace of God over my life. I am not in bondage to the enemy. I speak life and liberty to my mind in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That you can give him praise. If you feel a witness of the Holy Ghost right now, that God's done something in you, just give him praise right now. We're gonna pray corporately in just a minute, okay? Listen, I don't know where this is going. I'm trying to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. You understand? Is this all right? Are you okay with me? All right. I want us right now to get everything under the blood. As a body. We're gonna pray for healing in a minute. And what we don't want. Now if you need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you've never received that before, you want to receive it tonight. We need to repent. You need to repent. You need to cleanse your heart of all sin for the Lord to enter in. But even if you have the Holy Ghost and you were praying in tongues today and you were singing some song crazy in your car on the way over here and you're feeling good, we're going to get rid of every chance and opportunity for the devil to heap condemnation and guilt over us because we messed up. Because we messed up today, we messed up yesterday, we messed up earlier this week. Whatever it is. Let's get rid of that opportunity. We don't need the devil saying, no, you're not worthy to go up there and get something from God because you know what you did. You know your attitude. You know you walked by that person who had a need. You know you lied a little bit. You probably did. Let's ask the Lord to forgive us right now. And then we're going to receive freely. Now, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you feel like, hey, I got someone in my life that I've got to forgive. As you were talking, I felt a conviction, a name, a face came to me. And I think I need to forgive that person. Now's your opportunity. We're going to make space in this prayer. You can pray it right where you are. And then we're going to come up and respond at the altar. But right here, we're all going to pray our own prayer to God. I can't pray this prayer for you. Brother Cox can't pray this prayer. No one can pray this prayer but you. This is you and God. This is you getting right with the Lord. And I want you to pour your heart out to him. You don't have to be loud. You don't have to have everybody hearing it. But right where you are, right now, let's just pray this prayer of repentance. I'm going to pray my prayer. But I want you to pray your prayer. Lord Jesus, I come to you. And I am a sinner. Lord, I confess that I have done things wrong, and I ask you to forgive me. I'm sorry, Jesus. Lord, whatever I've said or done or thought that is sin, Jesus, forgive me. Lord, if I've looked at anything, if I've lusted after anything, if I've listened to anything that is sin, Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me right now. If I've done something and I didn't even know it was sin, I'm asking you to search me right now. I'm asking you to cleanse my heart. I'm asking you to make me whole. Cover me in your blood and renew a right spirit within me. In the name of Jesus, I pray. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And Lord, if I have unforgiveness in my heart, I ask you to forgive me. I recognize unforgiveness is sin. And I'm sorry. And right now, I forgive so-and-so. Just say their name if there's someone. I forgive so-and-so for what they did to me. I forgive them in Jesus' name. And I bless them as you would bless them. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Now, can we just thank the Lord for what he's done in this place? Can we just thank him for the forgiveness of sins, for the freedom to confess and get our hearts right with him? Thank you, Lord. Would you all stand with me right now? Amen. Amen. I'll be honest, this didn't go as planned, but I think the Lord is moving in a powerful way. I feel the presence of the Holy Ghost here. I want to just ask, I'm going to ask very quickly, if you've never, we're going to offer prayer for healing and deliverance and all those things, but I do want to ask if anybody's never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where you have that strange thing happen to you and your tongue starts making funny noises you've never learned, that we call speaking in other tongues. You've never received that gift, but you would like to receive it tonight. Would you just wave at me? I'm going to look from this side over to this side. Would you just wave at me right now? You've never received that gift, but you'd like to receive it tonight. Amen. Just looking. Just wave at me. If you see me look in your direction, you just wave at me. Amen. Amen. Don't be scratching your neck. Amen. No, I'm just teasing. Anybody? Amen. All right. I didn't see anybody, but if that is not the case, you just come see me or one of the ministers. Amen. You can receive that gift tonight. Now, I want to ask if you have a different need. And I'm focusing on healing because I love seeing people healed, and that's really what I love.